Life support is nominal. The oxygen danger indicator level is yellow. Please remember that this is a non-smoking pirate ship.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to GameIndustry.com's The Gin Lounge. I'm John Breeden, your chief lounge lizard, and your host for this episode of the show. Joining me today is Billy White, and we're going to be talking zombies, that is, as we talk about Telltale's The Walking Dead Season 2. So, Billy, thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
Now, Billy, you have the somewhat unique position. I mean, I don't know. There's probably only 100,000 or two of you that have played every episode of the of the series. So one of the rare few. I believe you've played every game except the little 400 mini game, which went in between the two games.
Yeah, I did. I never touched 400 days, but I mean, from what you've told me, I don't think I really missed out on much.
Well, I mean, you're missing out on a whole half hour's worth of content. I mean, with 400 days, it kind of helps explain a little bit of what's going on in season two compared to season one. But other than that, you're not missing too much. So The Walking Dead season two, you finally have your reviews in for it. We just ran the season two episode five review. There's No Turning Back, which was an interesting tale. We'll get into that a little bit, but so let's just start out with, since you do have the ability to look at both series, is the first and the second series. What are your general impressions of the two? I mean, I know a lot of the reviews in first season were like 4.5 gin gems and things like that. And this season, you know, there was one that was like a 3 or a 2.5 or something like that.
Yeah. The second season, it went away. It did a lot of things different from the first season, I guess is how I should start out saying this. And like one of them was it did a switch towards action over dialogue, because the first season was all about, you know, walking around, talking to these characters, learning more about these characters and getting these emotional connections to them. And the second season was much more all right with just like introducing a character that episode and then having them die that episode. And instead have you focus on fighting a zombie horde and shooting them away and stuff like that. And it didn't pull on the heartstrings as much as the first season did. That was one of the big differences.
Yeah. And I mean, that's for me personally, that's disappointing because that's what I liked about the first season a lot. I mean, I can see, I'm wondering if, you know, there was some marketing meeting at Telltale and they were like, okay, the trends these days are people like action, so we need to put more action sequences in. And probably some stupid focus group said, all the talking scenes are boring, you know, and they probably just shifted that way, I guess. But, you know, I liked this one because it was, let's just talk about The Walking Dead in general, with the comic book and with the TV show. What's unique about it in the whole zombie genre, because there's a lot of zombie stuff out there. I mean, they're very popular these days. Sci-Fi has a new show on about zombies, and it's kind of takes the traditional thing where it's, you know, shooting the zombies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But the reason The Walking Dead, I think, is popular is because it's a zombie show that's about everything but zombies. It's much more about the characters and the interaction between the people that just happen to be in a world that's infested with zombies. I mean, would you agree with that at all?
Oh yeah, it's definitely much more focused on the individuals. I remember watching the first season of the TV show, and by the time it was said and done, it was like, man, I really like this. And I said, but the only thing that it seemed strange to watch because it was basically like watching a soap opera with zombies in the background.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, you get hooked on it because you want to see what happens to the character, and to some extent, you want to learn, you know, the mystery of what's happening and so forth. But the zombies are kind of like, I mean, the zombies could be easily replaced with like a fire or some type of natural event that's, you know, occurring around them that, you know, yeah, they have to fight from time to time. I thought the series, the Telltale series, really keyed in on that. And a lot of that was because the creators of the comic book, you know, apparently had a lot to do with it. I don't know if they had less to do with it this season or what, but it did seem to be there was a lot of action sequences. There was a lot of, okay, you've got six bullets in your gun and seven zombies are coming after you. You know, how are you going to deal with that? You know, as opposed to the dialogue choices. And yeah, it was kind of disappointing. I mean, did you also feel that some of the dialogue choices were kind of almost checkboxes? It was kind of like, okay, yes, you've asked them about their history, and you know, some of the choices were ridiculous. Like, whose table are you going to sit at the lodge? You know.
Yeah, there was a lot of that. A lot of you know, like petty high school drama. Like, oh man, Clementine didn't sit with me. I'm so ticked at her, and it was completely blown out of proportion for some of those things. And I also hated that a lot of times when you made choices, and you know, and that was what was great about the first season. When you made a choice, your choice mattered. But in the second season, there was a lot of, all right, I've made my choice, I saved this person, or I decided to go this way, and then, you know, a zombie would come up and bite the person, or the group would be like, no, actually, that's a stupid idea. We're just going to go this way and not listen to you. And it took away that choice that you had as a player.
Yeah, and it seemed like that sort of happened almost more and more as you got deeper into the five episodes. The first few episodes there were some choices. At least there was an illusion of choice. I liked when Clementine was stuck in the shack and you had to like sneak out, and then there was different ways you could get into the house and
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
you could maybe you could try to talk to people, or you could come up through the little bathroom trap door and stuff. And I don't know, I thought that was pretty cool. I was, you know, I thought that was spot on. But as you got into it, I guess later on, you sort of had less and less of those type of things to decide.
And I think I know why, because I mean, the first one was it was very much a self-contained story. You played as Lee dies. Lee's story is mm-hmm. over. But you continue on as now Clementine doesn't die at the end of the series, so they have to continue on with Clementine's story more so with her at the focus. And instead mm-hmm. of having to do, like, you know, several branching paths right off the get-go in their third season, I think they kind of tried to force all of the decisions to come to one path at the end. That way, no matter what, they had a solid starting point at the beginning of the third season whenever it comes out.
You know, that makes a lot of sense, because I guess you could say with the Lee story, with the main character dying, it doesn't really matter too terribly much what your choices were outside of that story. Because, well, for example, like, we all thought Kenny was dead, you know, but mm-hmm. he came back, you know.
Yeah.
But with Clementine, I suppose, yeah, they'd be kind of stuck, because like if you made certain choices, you know, if there was a choice in there to cut Clementine's arm off or not, you know, then that's a different starting point, you know.
Drastic difference.
Yeah. So I guess so. I guess so. And I mean, it is hard. I've done some work on interactive choose your own adventure books, and it's difficult to create a multi branching story that makes sense. I mean, you end up with something like that. You end up writing a whole story that, you know, maybe only 10% of the people are going to actually see.
Yeah.
Because that's the choices they made. So I guess that's kind of hard. Now, the other thing that was sort of a disturbing trend, and do you think this was a resource issue or whatever? I noticed you in almost every one of your reviews for season two, you've mentioned that, you know, you like to have 2 hours of gameplay or 3 hours of gameplay or God forbid 4 hours of gameplay per title. And, you know, you weren't getting anywhere close to that in any of these.
Yeah, that was a huge issue I had with it, because, and yet again, comparing to the first one, I would sit down and play an episode from, you know, The Walking Dead season one, and outside of like the finale, which I understand Lee was missing his arm, it was kind of a hectic race to find Clementine. I understand why the episode was short, you know? Mm-hmm. But outside of that, every other episode was like, you know, a solid, you know, 3 to 5 hours right around there. And you got into season two, and it was immediately like one hour episode, an hour and a half episode. And it was really disappointing because the way I felt about it was, it almost seemed like they cut out the conversations to put in their little action scenes, which were all quick time events. And I think the game industry in general should probably understand already that most people don't enjoy quick time events.
Yeah, there's nobody, there's nobody like, you know, that's like, oh, you know, like, even like a series that people love, like Resident Evil or something like that. Like Todd Hargosh, for instance, here at Gin, he loves the Resident Evil series, I believe. And I love the Resident Evil series, but whenever you read the reviews, you're like, we love the Resident Evil series, even with the QuickTime events. You know, it's kind of like, in spite of the QuickTime events.
it's like Resident Evil 4. It was such an amazingly good game and QuickTime event. And if you die in the QuickTime event, you start the QuickTime event all over again. And some of those were lengthy cutscenes. And I think it's a lot of the same with Walking Dead Season 2.
Oh, yeah. I mean, even in the episode I liked where Clementine was in the shack, that was kind of the first QuickTime event that we saw where it was like – and it was almost ridiculous, almost like a dance. It was like, okay, first you've got to kick the zombie, then you've got to grab the rake, and then you've got to, you know, find the duct tape and the rock and you know, that's over in the corner. And you get killed like 15 times, and you're like, okay, I only have 5 seconds to find whatever stupid object they want me to find. So you spend that 5 seconds just madly going across the screen like, okay, is it there, oh, dead, okay, try again, okay, search the next quadrant, no yeah. Not there, oh, I found it, it's
I
that
had that
pebble.
With the dog the first time, the first like four times the dog, with the dog, because I die and come back and be like, all right, I obviously screwed up somewhere, what was I supposed to do right this time? It wasn't that.
that's hilarious. So all right, well, so interesting on the gameplay, kind of a weird turn on the gameplay from first season. What about the storyline? What are your thoughts about the story of the, I mean, obviously you said it wasn't as powerful, I guess it didn't tug at your heartstrings, but at the same time, I mean, what do you think as far as the story, were there twists and turns and things like that, or was it interesting? You know, I mean, there were a few surprises. I mean, there were many surprises, certainly, like the dog. Nobody knew the dog was going to turn into some vicious killer because over a can of beans, you know, especially since one of the options was feed, you know, share with the dog. And then the dog was like suddenly, you know, Cujo or something, like, oh, I'm not going to share. I'm going to take the whole thing and rip your throat out. You know,
yeah, like, that was. I think, in terms of story, I liked the story that was there. It was a good story, and it felt it does feel real, because I mean, you look at these characters and they all have their flaws, and they do stupid things sometimes that really mess with the group. And if it's a testament as to like how good they are, at least how good Telltale is at like looking at characters and like making them real and how you think people would really act, it's gotten to the point where Aaliyah doesn't even like to watch me play these games anymore, because it makes her think how much she hates people, because people would really act like this in these situations. So she doesn't even want to watch me play Walking Dead games anymore, whereas with the first season, she liked to sit down and watch with me and see what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, I could definitely see that. I mean, there's certain when you run into certain characters, you know, like the
Carver.
Carver, I guess, but Carver was a villain. So
yeah.
I mean, he pretty much followed the lawful evil villain archetype, where it's like he thought he was doing good, but he was doing evil, and you know, the Machiavellian path,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
So I think more like, and I don't remember her name, but like the black lady who was pregnant. Like from the moment you met her, she was pretty much like a bitch to you. And it was like, and it's like, yeah, I know she has her reasons, but you run into people like that in real life where it's just like, man, no matter what you do, you know that they're going to put everything you do in the worst possible light, you know? And it's just like there would be survivors like that who would act like that, and you would have to deal with them, you know?
Mm-hmm. And I think more than anything, Kenny really got a lot of development. I think he was the star of this season. I mean, as soon as he enters in, everything kind of became about Kenny. You know, how's Kenny? How's Kenny's mental state? How's Kenny doing physically? Is Kenny's girlfriend okay? You know, what? Kenny's girlfriend dies. Oh, crap. Is Kenny okay? And it's just, there was a lot of focus on Kenny in this episode. And I understand, because you get to the end and there's that huge fight about Kenny and everything. But
Well, if you remember, and I suppose it might be an interesting, a good time to mention that we're going to be talking some spoilers in the game. The game's been out for a while, so if you really don't want to know what happens, and we haven't really given away any major spoilers other than Kenny's in the game, which Kenny's been in all the freaking screenshots and everything, you know, that the, so I mean, you know, they're like, oh, here, episode 4, and here's Kenny on the cover, you know, so I'm pretty sure somebody knows that Kenny's in. But if you don't want to know, then, you know, I hate to say this, but stop listening now, and because we're probably going to get into a little bit, especially about the whole Kenny situation. So there, said that. Kenny, yes, when Kenny showed up, if you remember, though, in the first season, Kenny and Lee had, I mean, I don't know, depending on how you played, I had it where Lee and Kenny, I don't know what the heck happened, but they drifted apart something serious where they were practically enemies by the end of the series. Was Kenny your buddy the whole time through?
Well, there's actually something funny about that. I sided with Kenny most of the time whenever I was playing season 1, and then I got up to like episode 3 or 4, whichever one it was, that had that glitch that erased save data. And so then whenever I went through again, it was like Kenny was still okay with me, but not as okay as he used to be. He had some kind of grudge against me, and that was like my playthrough for the reviews and everything, and that was, and it kind of sucks because it was like, I don't have much of a choice. I can't go through and replay all these episodes again just to get all of it back, nor that I have the desire to at the time. I was so frustrated. But for the most part, I kept a good relationship with him. And whenever I started this one out, and I jumped from Xbox 360 to PC between seasons 1 and seasons 2, so I didn't have my old save data this time around. But the backstory it gave me for Kenny was basically that him and Lee had been best friends, and, you know, he absolutely, you know, loved Lee and got along with Lee and everything. And so it was more of how my original save was for season 1, and I was okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I missed. I wish I could say there was a save glitch, and that's why. I don't know what happened. There were a couple incidents. Like, there was one where you guys were scavenging, and the girl comes out, and she's being chased by zombies, and Lee wants to put her down, you know, because, you know, to save her. And, mm-hmm. and Kenny doesn't want to, because it'll give away your position. And I'm like, nah, Kenny, I got to do this, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And there were, like, little things like that, and I guess they just added up where Kenny didn't really like me anymore. So, but I mean, for me though, he still liked Clementine. So for me, he was like, when he would talk to Clementine, he'd be like, "Well, me and Lee didn't always see eye to eye, but I know he would have done anything for you," you know, that type of thing,
yeah.
Which is true. So,
yeah.
So you know, I liked their relationship, but you're right, the whole thing did kind of center on Kenny. But my point was that Kenny, for all his greatness, and we all loved Kenny as a character, he was kind of mentally unbalanced a little bit in the first episode, or at least quick to anger. His flaws were pretty front and center.
Yeah, they were. I won't deny that. He was, I mean, I think one of the first times there's a confrontation, one of your options is to just tell Kenny, punch him in the face when they're arguing with, what was the guy's name, was Larry or something like that, the old guy.
the father of the girl who ended up
yeah.
in charge of the hotel.
And Kenny just doesn't even give it a second thought. He just decks the guy, and it's like, he's a bit quick bar fights. You think of Kenny, and you just think he's probably been in a lot of bar fights.
Remember he's telling you about the first time he saw a zombie, and it was like he thought that they were trying to molest his kid or something. He ends up beating him up at the gas station, you know? It was like, that's pretty awesome. You know, but anyway, so in season 2, you got to see the development of Kenny over time in some serious circumstances. So when you first meet Kenny, he's friendly, and he's got a new family that kind of looks like his old family, or at least, you know, his girl kind of looks like his old girl and stuff. And then, I don't know, he seemed pretty stable. And then what happens, Billy, to sort of push Kenny over the edge, as it were?
There's like a few little things. The introduction of Carver is like the first thing mm-hmm. that really, because then like what happened with me, at least, and I know it can differ slightly, is I told Kenny to take the shot at Carver, and Carver pulled up and shot Al and killed Al, and that kind of weighed on Kenny after that. And he felt bad, and he was, you know, he was like, you know, if I wouldn't have shot, maybe Al would be alive and everything. And there was that at first, and then you get to the end of, I believe it was the third episode, and Sarita dies, and that's, you know, Kenny's replacement for Katja. I can't pronounce that name.
No, you got it right. Yeah, yeah. She was very much like Katja, you know.
Yeah, exactly, and that really. That really got it to the point where everyone else in the group is like, man, we got to watch Kenny because he's kind of breaking apart. Clementine, go talk to the crazy guy for us because we're all adults here and we're going to send the little girl to go do it.
But yeah, go sit at his table next time we have lunch.
Yeah, exactly. But you kind of just watch Kenny start breaking apart as everything in this apocalypse just builds up to become too much for him.
Hmm. And then, what happens at the, you know, this is kind of deep spoiler territory.
Oh, yeah.
In the final episode, so then what's the deal? What happens? What's, describe what happened in your game with the confrontation with Kenny and what you tried to do and what ended up ultimately happening?
Well, basically, I mean, you get to this point where, you have, man, I can't remember the black girl's name that had the baby. Point is, the baby's there. They call him Al Jr. And Kenny's been a little overprotective of this kid, honestly, like kind of too creeper-like on this kid, trying to protect it and everything. And
okay.
I mean, it's obvious that he's kind of like, you know, making it out to be like Duck almost. And
mm-hmm.
at the end, it's you, Kenny, and Jane, because the rest of the survivors basically are just like, we're getting out of here. Kenny's not worth being around. And there's a snowstorm, a wreck. You go running through Jane, who is very much a doesn't help anyone if she can get around it. Like she's all about, you know, out there for herself, is left with the kid. And when you all meet up together at a rest stop, the kid's not with Jane. And Kenny freaks out and just starts trying to kill her. And so as Clementine, you're like running in there and you're like, well, crap, what do I do? You know, I like Jane. I like Kenny. And basically, it ultimately came down to me. I ended up, and I didn't want to do it at all, but I ended up picking up a gun and shooting Kenny and killing him. And it was really sad because he sits there, and like, as he's dying, he does the whole reversal thing where he's like, I'm sorry, I went out of control. I shouldn't have had to have put you through this. And I felt really bad the whole time. And then it turns out it was like a whole entire deception on Jane's part, and she had actually hid the kid off in a car just to see what Kenny's reaction would be. So then you're kind of really ticked at Jane after that, and you're like, oh, I just Kenny didn't have to die, but at the same time he was broken anyway, and it was hectic as all get out. That scene, all the different actions that could take place, because Kenny's trying to strangle Jane. You stab him in the knee and stop him, you know, and then Jane gets on top of Kenny and starts beating his face in. You grab up and pull her away, and it's just so back and forth and hectic, and it's you're caught up in the moment. And I ended up shooting Kenny, and I felt like a dick afterwards.
Did you ever go back and replay the last scene and try to shoot Jane instead? Or
I haven't, only because I went through kind of to try to see, like, you know, what. Well, I didn't even need to, actually, because in the options at the end, it says, like, you know, choices you've made, and it says you forgave Jane. So many percent of players did, so many didn't. And that right there mm-hmm. tells you that Kenny has to die, because if you're forgiving Jane at the end of the episode, I mean, Kenny's not there.
Then the choice is not going to be, how many people killed Kenny? How many people killed Jane? That would have been the choice. They
yeah,
would
exactly.
put up there, obviously.
And knowing right. that, I kind
so
of...
Why...
up a little bit to see, like, you know, what could have happened.
Oh, right. So with Jane, though, then, like, why the hell would she do that? I mean, let's throw some red meat in front of a madman. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and she even says afterwards, you know, she's like, I didn't think he was this bad. I didn't realize he was this bad, but I needed you to see what he was and what he was becoming. And that's her whole argument. And I think it was a poorly placed one, honestly. In the middle of a zombie apocalypse, you decided to threaten a child. I mean, not the most intelligent thing you've ever done.
Yeah, crazy. So at the end of season two, I guess then is – I mean, you have the choice to forgive Jane or not. So does Clementine – is it sort of like, is Clementine and Jane still together in your game or in general?
For mine, yeah, I forgave Jane, and we went back. We actually went back to Carver's place, is what we ended up doing. And now, like, that place is all emptied out and everything. And at the very end, you and Jane are there, and real people. Mm-hmm. A family walks up and asks if they can come in, and Jane's obviously like, no, that's not going to fly. And then as Clementine, being the little girl I am and the whole hope for the future, I let them in because they had a son, and I kind of regretted it afterwards. It doesn't show anything, but I was just like, this is going to come back to bite me in season 3, and I know it is.
What, letting the family into your compound?
Yeah, I think it will. I really think it will.
Why?
Because season 2 seemed like it really pushed Jane as the type of character you want Clementine to become. You know, Jane tries to mentor Clementine, and Jane has this whole lone wolf mentality, doesn't stick around with a group and everything like that. She's been hurt too many times. And the only reason she sticks around is because she comes out and says it. She's like, the rest of these guys are all screwed up and they're all going to die. But you are going to survive, Clementine, which is like the same thing Carver tells her. He's like, you know, you and me are the same. You'll make the decisions no one else will. And they really try to push you to like Jane and try to like her mentality that she has for everything, which is the lone wolf, don't help other people unless it's helping you mentality.
Well, in the Walking Dead wiki, it says that cause of death, stabbed in the chest by Kenny, determinant. So apparently she can get killed in that fight, I guess.
Okay, I didn't. Huh.
Yeah, because it says first appearance in, you know, this is in the wiki for the game. It says first appearance in harm's way. Last appearance, no going back, death episode, no going back, determinant, cause of death, stabbed in the chest by Kenny, player's decision. So I guess it's possible that Jane might actually be dead in some games.
I guess
so
that's fair. I hadn't seen that. Hmm.
Maybe you should go back and play that last scene. Maybe see what happens. interesting. You basically think that, I guess, season 3, I mean, any predictions of what you think is going to happen with season 3? Are you going to start, do you think, at that compound with those people, or do you think that it's going to be, they're going to have to do like a, you know, 10 years later type thing, and, you know, she's now a teenager or something like that, and, you know, off on her own?
I don't think they'll do a huge time skip. I could see them doing a few months, and I only say this because I remember seeing an interview with Robert Kirkman, and he's, you know, the creator of the Walking Dead comics. Mm-hmm. And he says that he does not like doing time skips in his comics, and I think that probably is about the same for the mm-hmm. The video games and the TV show. They don't like the TV show and stuff. He doesn't like time skips. He thinks that, you know, and the way I basically understood it is that there's story to tell there that you shouldn't be skipping over, is the way I took it.
Well, and also, I mean, are you familiar with the comics at all? Have you gone through them? I know you're a comic guy, so I don't know.
I've read up to a fair bit. I won't deny. I need to start reading again. I stopped reading and this is also a comic / it'll probably be a TV show spoiler, because I imagine it'll follow suit. So anybody listening, that's just a heads up. When Glenn got killed, I stopped reading the comics because Glenn was my favorite character. And that was just like, dang it, you know, screw you, Kirkman.
Well, my point was, though, is that do you know how far the comics have gone? Like, in other words, Telltale probably couldn't skip ahead even 5 years if the comics haven't gone that far. Because who knows what Kirkman's thinking? I mean, maybe, you know, in the TV show, there's a guy that supposedly knows how to cure the zombie plague. So, you know, maybe Kirkman's thinking that guy's going to actually, you know, 10 years from now, there might not be zombies anymore or whatever. You know, who knows?
Yeah, I think the comic just went through a 6-month time skip, but that's it. And I mean, we've seen the video game do that for, like, you know, the whole Omid and what's his pregnancy and all that and everything. And So, I mean, they've done little skips like that, and that's in line with the comic. But, yeah, I think you're right. I don't think they'll let them get too far ahead for fear of, you know, going past the comics or TV show or anything.
Right, right. Yeah, suddenly, wait a minute. What are all these airships and laser pistols doing? That has nothing to do with it. So, all right. Well, in general, then, real quick, as a sort of a final question for you, Billy. So then, it sounds like, you know, you didn't like season two quite as much as you like season one. I mean, that's kind of standard. I mean, even in movies, you know, it's like, you know, the second one's never as good as the first one. But in general, what do you are you excited about season three still, or you know, what's your thoughts as far as season three, and what do you think that do you think gamers should be looking forward to season three?
I mean, I'm probably gonna play season three. I can't deny that. I'm too invested in the series at this point to give up partway through. I definitely suggested season one, and it was, I mean, when season one came out, I was just telling people, I was like, you need to buy this. You know, it came out on like actual physical media, and I was telling like friends and coworkers and stuff. I'm like, you really need to buy this game because it's amazing. And with season two, I don't think I could actually come out and say that as much. It's still, it's good, but it's more middle of the road. It's one of those things where it's like, I can't fully stand behind this anymore and tell people that they should be playing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it's a fair thing. So maybe if Telltale makes the episodes longer, brings back some more of the interpersonal dialogue, and brings us our actual choices back, choices that matter, then maybe that's something that we should look forward to in season three, I guess. So, all right, well, guys, listeners out there, let us know what you all think. Our email address is ginlounge@gameindustry.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Pinterest, Google+, and Twitter. Our Twitter feed is @GinLounge, so easy enough to find us there too. All right, Billy, thanks a lot for joining us today, and appreciate going over the series, and thanks again as always for going through and reviewing the whole thing, and I'm sure we'll be checking in with you as season three starts, whenever that may be.
Indeed.
All right, take care, everybody. Until next time, be careful with who you let into your fortified compound after the zombie plague, because unlike in the video game, those choices really do matter. All right, no more you know.